Welcome to the new. Every experience with God's Word promises to be refreshing and transformational. Receive today's message with high expectations as it brings power, light, and a fresh anointing to your life.
Now, if you are a Nigerian and you go to, let's say, India or China, and your native dialect or your native language in Nigeria is Igbo or Hausa or Yoruba, any one of the three. If you go to China and you want to begin to transact with the Chinese, particularly those who have never been to Nigeria before and they don't know your language, you're going to find it very difficult to converse with them or have engagement with them. Why? Because of the barrier of language. In other words, there is a language they understand there. It's their lingua franca, their medium of conversation, their medium of operation, their medium of exchange. They understand that. They are cultured with it. Growing up, that is what you culture them with. In fact, in your language, you see sometimes as a Yoruba person, they'll say, you know, you're a Yoruba person, you don't know how to lie down or, you know, prostrate and things like that. Why? Because of the language. Is part of the culture. That's why you can never talk about culture formation or culture architecting without putting in language and belief and lifestyle inside of it. In fact, language is the distinction between cultures. In other words, you can wear this t-shirt that you're wearing, I'm wearing this t-shirt that I'm wearing, but I am Igbo and you are Hausa, but the thing that is making us look alike is the clothes that we're wearing. But the difference between you and I is the language that we understand and we speak. As it is on the earth, so it is spiritually as well. In other words, there is a language of the spirit, and there is a language that is understood in the spirit realm as well. And there is a language that is expected. The same way a Chinese guy will probably not understand what you are speaking as an Igbo guy, Yoruba guy, or Hausa guy. He probably doesn't understand what you're saying, but you're trying to communicate it to him. Look at this. You are literally communicating, but he doesn't understand it. But you are communicating. If another person who is in your state comes there, the person will understand what you're saying. But he will not understand what you're saying. Why? Because his orientation and his education doesn't give him that leeway to be able to understand you. Why? Because the language he understands is different from the one you are speaking. There is a language on the earth that causes people to recognize each other. That's why if you live in America, London, Germany, Paris, or anywhere of these places, when you walk around the street of London, I don't know if this has happened to you before, and you hear somebody, a Niger guy, just says, "I'm on our way for this country." Oh, the moment you hear "Nawa," you know it's only coming from one place. What are you going to do? "My Niger brother, where you dey?" You will turn your back immediately. What stopped you from moving forward? What stopped you from focusing on where you were going to? Somebody else spoke a language you recognized. It's the same way it is in the spirit realm. There is a language that is recognized that causes everybody to stand still and say, "What is going on there? How can we attend to you?" Language is powerful. It is critical. It is powerful. That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 18. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongues. It is a critical thing. And those that don't know how to use it, and those that don't understand it, will pay dearly for it. That's what scripture says. Has this happened to you before? Think about this. Something happened. And the moment it happened, maybe, you know, your nephew or your cousin was carrying a plate. And all of a sudden, the plate fell and broke. Your favorite plate. And you saw the thing from afar, and you ran down. I said, and I was saying it. What eventually made that plate fall down? Think about this. You were saying it, so in your mind, you're thinking, "I've been saying this thing, I was saying this thing. This thing shouldn't have happened." Yes or yes? But then the thing happened. Think about the many things that you are not saying, that if you were saying it, it will still make things happen. That's why we need to study this thing very well about the use of words. Let me tell you what I'm about to do for you. And the next, that's why, if you've not heard the teaching on Tuesday, I'm not trying to do a foundation again. I'll just encourage you to please go back on YouTube, the new church on YouTube. Go and listen to it, because I'm just going to continue from where I stopped on Tuesday. So go and listen to it so that you can get a greater context to some of the things I'm going to be teaching. But never mind. You would understand it, because I'm going to just put some of these things together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if I want to change your life, I have to change what you say. If I want to change your life, I have to change what you say. That's why this training, this teaching, I call it a training. Because I want to use it by the help of the Spirit. God told me that many people's life would change dramatically. Listen to me very, very carefully. And I say it again in the authority of the apostolic. Listen to what I'm about to say to you. In the next 6 months, I want you to write down where you are now. Where you are now, today, write it down. And then go and practice this thing I'm going to be teaching you. And compare where you are now and where you will be in 6 months. Please, I beg you. Just compare it by understanding the use of words. How you would use your words to talk your way to the top. How you will use your words to change and navigate your life. How you will use your words to transform your destiny. It's very critical. I will show you, not today, maybe next week, I will show you the things Jesus was saying about himself. Why do you think Jesus was always talking about his death? He knew he was going to die. But look, if it was in his belly eating day, that prophecy would not come to pass. Because the law of the Spirit is, the moment it is incubated, you must tell it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So shall the Son of Man come, and the Son of Man shall die. Bring this house down, this temple down, and in 3 days, this temple will rise again. Why was he saying those things? He was releasing those things that were incubated in his spirit and released because there's a law of the Spirit. Once I show it to you, you must say it out. Full stop. That's what the Bible says. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Scripture says, for we having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore what? We speak. In other words, if you are not speaking, you don't believe. What makes me know that you truly believe is that you are speaking. The Bible says concerning God, it was moving from in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was moving around the face of the deep. Next, what happened there? And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be light. In the whole of Genesis chapter 1, all the way down to the end of Genesis chapter 1, God said 10 times. What would make the person that can do like this? Just create everything. But it was trying to show us a law in the spirit. Look, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2 showed us the actual. That's why when Jesus said, when they came to him and said, why are people remarrying and things like this? You know what Jesus said? He said, but from the beginning it was not so. In other words, there was a perversion that occurred. So when we want to look at how things should actually be in God's original intention for the earth, go back to Genesis chapter 1. It gives you a clear indication of what should have been. So when you read Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, it gives you an indication of creation, how this thing should be. That's why we have the Sabbath today. That's what we call and God rested. You know, it wasn't sleep that he was doing. So when you see that, it helps you understand what is going on here. That if in Genesis chapter 1, for 10 times, the person who had all the power and all the authority that could create anything he wants to create, but just do like this, stamp fingers and just do like this. It was showing us a spiritual law that the way to create anything is by your words. That's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. It says, we know that the world was framed. How? By the word of God. The world was framed. How? By the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says, upholding all things by the word of his power. In other words, how do we uphold things? By the word. Anything that is falling can be upheld by the word. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anything that is coming down can be upheld. It says, upholding what? By the word of his power. Now you understand it very clearly when the Bible says, John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. This word was so critical, God had to name Jesus word. Then the next verse, the Bible says, in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In other words, word can become a reality. Word can become a reality. Word can become a reality. The word became flesh. In other words, every word will become something. If you are speaking negative word, it must become something. The word became. The word became. The word became. What is becoming your life by the words you are speaking? The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Bible says, and we beheld. How would word become flesh and then we behold? This is very, very important. Word is beyond. Don't let me go ahead of myself. Jesus says, the words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Let me teach you a very powerful spiritual law today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's look at it in the TPT version. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Thank you, Jesus. By the time we're done with this series, some of you, your pastor will call you, how have you been? So, pastor, I was at home all day. What were you doing all day? I was having a word party. Just 2 hours and you were just declaring. You, nothing. 2 hours, you just woke up and you were declaring. Let's go there. Look at this verse of scripture very well. The average believer knows this scripture very well, but the Lord showed me, I want to show you something, that you can be declaring this scripture. If you don't read the context of it very well, you will not understand what it's saying. That's why I wanted to read the TPT version. Eyes has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has he entered the heart of man, the things that God intends to do to those that he loves. Yes. How do those things that you have seen, those things that you have not heard, how do they become a reality? Is that not your frustration? Is that not people's frustration?
Yes, sir.
The things I'm seeing, the eyes has not seen, ears has not heard, neither has he entered the heart of man. How do you move that thing that eyes has not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of any man, the things that God intends to do? How do you move it from that place where it is? Because when the Bible says eyes has not seen, let me tell you something. There is nothing even in the realm of the spirit God is creating again. You missed what I said there. I know you missed what I said there. Let me say it again so that to help those that need to catch up. There is nothing in the realms of the spirit God is creating again. In other words, if AI is now seen on the earth, AI is not an afterthought. In other words, God is not now thinking now I have to create AI. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everything was created. When the Bible says, and God rested, finished his work, he finished everything. So everything, it means, in other words, what eyes has not seen concerning your life is already resident somewhere. It's not something God is going to create the moment you now start praying. So God is saying, chef, we need to cook this thing, or we need to cook now, or this person needs a breakthrough, we need to cook. It's already somewhere. How do you move what is somewhere into reality? That's what we do by studying the word of God. That's what we do. Glory to God. So let's look at it very critically. I want to show you a powerful reality today. Let's go there. Verse 9, it says, this is why the scripture says, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine. You see that? Our ability to imagine. You know, there are things in your life right now that is beyond your ability to imagine right now. Let me give you one. If I look at you now and say, by tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., you are going to be employing at least 1 million people, you might not be able to imagine it now. Because say, how would that happen? Tomorrow morning, like, who is going to call me? How? Beyond your imagination. Let's see how beyond imagination things happen. If you want to see beyond imagination things in your life, look at me, everybody. Look at where I am today. I want to show you a practice. So, because when we do the word of God, we must be able to practicalize it for people so that we're not just talking to people and telling people that God is good, but they can't see it. Okay, look at me now, P.S. Look at me now and look at me in the next 6 months. You know, at least my own is visible. I'm visible to you all. There's nothing to hide. I'm visible to all. Look at the difference in 6 months. You will know that this thing works. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll show you. This is why the scripture says, things never discovered before, heard or before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. How many of his lovers are here? All right. Now, this is a signed ticket. Now, these are the things I want to do for you. So, take the check. But anyone that gives the check doesn't go and help you to cash the check. Abby, when they give you a check, you are supposed to go to the bank to cash the check yourself. So God has told you what he wants to do, all his lover. Take the check. Oh yeah, take. Now, go to the bank and cash it. I want to show you how to cash the check given to you by the word. Now, let's go there. Go to verse 10. The Bible says in verse 10, it says, but God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Look at this. It says, yes, he has revealed to us his innermost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. Next verse, verse 11. It says, after all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. Go to the next verse. We're going to verse 13. Look at this. Verse 12. For we did not receive the spirit of the world system, but the Spirit of God, so we might come to understand, listen to this, and experience all that grace has lavished for us. So now I'm getting to the point where we want to understand and experience. Because it's one thing for them to say, God says that I've given you eyes, what eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered the heart of man, things I want to do for you. So you understand that, yes or no? You know, it's one thing to understand it, it's another thing to experience it. You understand how a plane fly, but can you fly a plane? You can't now, but you understand that. You just pull that thing. You remember that thing now? Just do like this, it will go up. You remember now? Do you know that thing? Just do like this. What is it? You just know that if you do like this, the thing will go up, but you don't know how to fly. So that is the experience in there. That's what we want to find out. How do I now experience what eyes has not seen, what ears has not heard? Because I understand that God can do it, but how do I experience it is where the challenge is. Let's go to the next verse. We'll see it there now. Look at this. And we articulate these realities with what? The words imparted to us by the Spirit, and not with the words taught by human wisdom. We join together. Look at that. Spirit reveal truths and Spirit reveal words. In other words, what is Spirit reveal truth? Spirit reveal truth is that he has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That is Spirit reveal truth. It's in the Word. But Spirit reveal truth doesn't get the job done alone. It's the combination of Spirit reveal truth and Spirit reveal words. What is the Spirit reveal words there? It's not the words that the Lord now puts in your spirit. It's the word that comes from the Spirit reveal truth. Did somebody hear what I said there? It is the word that comes from the Spirit revealed truth. In other words, if you read the Bible says, if you been evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father. That is a Spirit revealed truth. Are you getting what I'm saying there? And you know that. How do I now convert it from Spirit revealed truth to Spirit revealed words? What you do there is you take that truth and you now begin to convert that truth, that I have a Father that is beyond and above my Heavenly Father. The moment you are declaring it, what you are doing is you are combining Spirit revealed truth with Spirit revealed words. Then you cannot be declaring the word that says that what eyes has not seen, what ears has not heard. That's how you get what eyes have not seen, what ears has not heard. So the equation is simple. Write this down in your book. Spirit revealed truth plus Spirit revealed words equals manifestation. Oh, Rabba Katele Mondo Koparwa La Kasaida Bahaktas. Did somebody get the equation there? Spirit revealed truth plus Spirit revealed words equals manifestation. Or equals what eyes has not seen, what ears has not heard, neither has he entered the heart of any man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How do I get my life to the next chapter? This equation. Spirit reveal truth. Now you see why you cannot do without the word. Because the foundation is the Spirit revealed truth. You have to get the Spirit revealed words from the Spirit revealed truth. When you stay in the word, you are getting Spirit revealed truth. When you incubate it, then Spirit revealed words now comes up. That's why the Bible says, and thy word came and what? I ate them. Jeremiah. It says, thy word came and I ate them. When you eat the word, the Spirit revealed word that is inside must produce from your heart. Spirit revealed truth. Pardon me. Spirit revealed truth that was inside must produce Spirit revealed words. I will show you the example in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's go there. Ezekiel 37. That's why words are converters of spiritual realities. Words, they are converters of spiritual realities. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, God speaking says he sent his word and he healed all their diseases. Have you noticed that anytime God wants to do anything, his word he uses? Every time. If he wants to reveal anything to his prophets, his word he will send. If he wants to tell Mary anything, he will send angels to tell him something. Word. The medium of communication in the spirit realm is word. If the enemy wants to plant something in the heart of another person, his word he will use. Tell Jesus that he's not going to die. And Jesus knew that you want to use word game with me. Get it behind me, Satan. In other words, a suggested word can be a snare to trap you from going to the cross. So that's why I say that the word is warfare. Word is spiritual warfare. What can hamper your growth or exalt your destiny? It's words. It's the spiritual warfare we fight is war of words. If you don't understand it, you will pay dearly for these things in life. Your words create your realities. It's the spiritual converter. Whatever you see in your life is produced by a word you've spoken before. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at Ezekiel 37. I want to show you how truth, spirit revealed truth, and spirit revealed words produce these things. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 37. The hand of God came upon me and brought me into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bone. Look at this. You see how this word is important. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon him. The first thing we established in that scripture was that God's hand was him, was on him. Let me go ahead of myself a little bit. Now he explains to you Acts chapter 2. The Spirit of the Lord says, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost is fully come, they were one in one place. It says, suddenly there came a sound of came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It said, cloven tongue of fire sat upon each and every one of them were present. And what happened? They began to do what? Speak. One of the ways to know someone who is intoxicated and influenced by the Spirit is the speaking of that person. It's the speaking of that person. I'll show you there. Let's go back to that scripture. Ezekiel 37. It says, the hand of God was upon me. You will see that. Don't let me go ahead of myself. Now, it says, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me in the midst of a valley. It says, it was full of bones. So he came into a valley and it was bones that were there. Disruption. Why would human being bones be around there? Not body. Bones. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 2. It says, it caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed were very dry. In other words, it was explaining the extent of decadence. That's what it was in here. That look, it's one thing, it's even fresh bone. We can even walk with it. But they were dry. It means this bone is finished. Nothing good can come out of that situation again. You've looked at your business, looked at the family, looked at everything. It's a dry bone. Very, very dry. How is there anything that can still come out of year 2024 for me like this? I'm in the second quarter. They are prophesying all these things about me. Is there anything that can still come out? Dry bone. Completely dry. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, you Lord God, you know. Let me tell you what was going on here. Do you know that God by himself could have said dry bones rise? No. Let me teach you something. When God wants to culture you into spiritual maturity, he won't do it for you. He will tell you to do it by yourself. So he asked him a rhetorical question. Do you think these bones can live? Listen, think about this. Let me show you something very powerful. Every time God wants to help somebody, what they need for that help is within them. You didn't get what I said. Moses, come and release the children of Israel and bring them to a promised land that I've showed them from Egypt. Moses, what do you have in your hands? Listen, I have a rod. Throw it on the ground. It will turn to serpent. God did not say, go back home and go and look for something you have. Then come, let me see if I can work with it. Every time God meets you there, he meets you with what you have. He looks around you and finds, what can I work with what that person have? In other words, Jesus is faced with 5,000 people, had to feed 5,000 people. What do you have with you? He didn't say, go to the city and go and buy 10 loaves of bread and 5 fishes. What do you have? We have nothing. What is this amount of money? Okay, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Bring it to me. God will work with what you have. There are many scriptures. Woman, what do you have in the house? I don't have anything. I have a jar of oil. I don't know. Okay, go and bring what you have. Listen, he says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom that your adversary, there are very few things in scripture God says himself will give to you. Mouth is one of those things. He says, I will give you a mouth. Oh my God. I will give you, me, I will give you. I see fire burning the people's mouths. The moment I said that now, I see fire. Lift your hands and pray in the spirit. Sharena kopere zevele kaparia zelika toronte legatori arakaso telepokon torobala makason toroba karia patelia polo arakoso tobara barakaso teleba. Listen to this. How would the scripture says your tongue is like a pen of a ready writer? How does tongue become to write? In other words, the tongues can write the manuscript of your life. The tongue can write the dictates of your life. How will a tongue begin to write? My tongue is like that of a ready writer. So God looked at them and said, what do you have? He said, can this bone live? You know why? Because God already knows that constituted inside Ezekiel is something so powerful that he has, that he's going to have to use to wake up those dry bones. It's inside you. He didn't say, Ezekiel, go and look for a stick that I want to walk with. He says, can this bone live? Rhetorical question. Let me see your intelligence. So let's look at the next verse. The Bible says, you, oh God, he knows. Think about what he says. He says, only you knows. Again, he said to me, look at what he said. He says, prophesy to these bones. See it. Say to them. Say to them. Say to them. Not stare at it. You're staring at that sickness. You are staring at that situation. You are staring at that finances. You are staring at that circumstances. Those things don't get well if you keep staring at it. The only thing they understand is what you say to it. He says, say to them, oh dry bones. Look at what it says. It didn't say, oh fat bones. Call it by its name. Call it by the very name. You know what is going on in your life. Stop trying to pity party around the situation and say, well, I don't really want to. They ask you, do you want to get married? Say, well, you know, really, I don't. But in your heart, you know you want. Call it by name. He says, oh, dry bones. Yeah, the word of the Lord. Ra ta 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 ta. He says, yeah, the word of the Lord. You see that spirit revealed truth and spirit revealed words. Yeah, the word of the Lord. Now, the spirit revealed truth there was the word of God. God himself speaking to him was a revealed truth that this thing can rise. The spirit revealed word there is his own part. God, that's why the Bible says we are co-laborers. You need to go and listen to this message again. God has supplied his own, which is the word. You now have your own part, which is your own words. He says, oh ye dry bone, yeah, the word of the Lord. You know, there's a way to command things. He says, command concerning the works of my hand. He says, command ye me. That's what scripture says. He says, concerning the works of my hand, command ye me. There's a way to declare things. He says, oh dry bones. You've suffered me too much. Would you kindly go, dry bones? I'm so sick, dry bones. No. Oh, ye dry bones. There's an audacity of the spirit dry bones understand. Am I talking to a supernatural army? There is an audacity of the spirit. There is a force of faith that dry bones understand. Oh, ye dry bones, rise. You see, when you speak like that, everything in heaven and on earth begin to know that something is serious. Somebody needs business here. Somebody needs business here. Now, what you are doing in the spiritual terms is you are doing exactly what David did. The Bible says when Goliath came towards him, what did he do? He took a step towards him. Today we die here. But I know that the Lord of the Hebrews army will not make me die to an uncircumcised Philistine. Yeah, the word of the Lord. Next verse. Give me verse 5. Oh, Rabataya Lobo Sondo Reba. He says, thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath. Look at what God said after he has spoken. After he has spoken, God answers, surely. I will, because you have spoken. Now remember, Numbers 14. It says, as surely as I live, whatever you say to my ear, so will I do. Are you sure? I hope you know that is what you say to God that God does. It says, I will cause these bones to enter into you and you shall live. Next verse. Go to verse 6. Oh, I love this verse 6. Look at, let's read together. Let's read together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. I will put sin on you and bring fresh, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then, next verse. You see how God wants to boast with your words. The only thing holding God all along to find a boasting in your life is because of the deficiency of your words. The only thing God is looking for to be able to use to boast with your life is because of the deficiency of your words. You are talking too kind to the devil. You are talking to a hungry, bitter, wicked spirit. And you are talking this nice. No dry bones. Could you kindly rise now? We have in the same spirit of faith. Which spirit of faith? God kind of faith. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples. He says, have the God kind of faith. Look at what the Bible says. It says, so I what? Prophesied as what? Have you been commanded to speak? It says, the moment I prophesied as I was commanded, it says, there was what? Let me explain something to you. When you begin to speak like that, the first thing that would occur is not the formation of the bones. The first thing that's going to happen is that there will be noise. The noise is a distraction. It's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. Sometimes the noise can be the increase of the problem. In other words, you have been declaring, and then I'm not going to be sick. Then you went back to the hospital. Then they told you that the condition has gone higher. It's only a noise. Take your eyes away from the noise. Take your eyes away from the noise. The problem is you look at the noise, then you look away from the revelation and the manifestation. The noise wanted to distract you from the manifestation. It says there was a noise. And what? Suddenly. That's why many times when that testimony begins to happen, you never planned it. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, they shall be like them that dream. You never thought it was going to happen the day it was happening. You never thought it was going to happen the season it happened. Because what happened there, somebody shouts suddenly. Oh, my rapata son to robata. Oh, Ramakasa. Suddenly! He says there was a rattling. There was a rattling. There was some shaking. And the bones came together. Let me teach you something there. When the bones starts coming together, don't be silent. Keep saying it. 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 He says the bones came together. He says bones. To bone. Go to the next verse. It says, indeed, as I looked, the sinews of the flesh came upon them and the skins covered them, but there was no breath in them. Look at this. It was not over yet. The thing was formed. You've had the boyfriend, but there's no money to do the wedding. You see, you already have one, step one, but you don't have step two. While you are thanking God for step one that it has been completed, you better activate step two. So Jesus now said, you sit with Jesus. Come, you are blind. Laid hands on him. What do you see? I see men like tree. He didn't say that's all I can do. What the Bible says, he laid hands on him again. Some of you must learn how to lay words again. You lay words again. 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 It says, indeed, as I look, the same way. Next verse. Guys, go to the next verse. Oh my God. It says, also, he said to me, prophesy to breath. prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. How would man be able to command wind? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou casted and moved, and shall not doubt in his heart. He said, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. Next verse. Give it to me. Next verse. Verse 10. He says, so what? You see that again. As what? And bread came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet. Dry bones can stand. But this is where I'm going to. Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1 of this chapter. Verse 1. Quickly, please. The hand of God came upon me. Just because the hand of God is upon you and you are not talking, the hand will be mighty, but manifestation will be small. Are you seeing what I'm saying now? The hand will be mighty. A spiritual person will be able to look at you and say, there's God's hand on your life. But the manifestation to show for the fact that the hand of God is upon you will be small. Why? Because when the hand of God is upon you, speaking must follow that hand. The speaking part is your own. The hand part is God's own. Is somebody saying what I'm saying? In other words, the hand of God would be upon him, but it will still be in dry bones land. If he doesn't speak to the dry bones, they're not going to get up. No, the hand of God is upon his life. So the problem there is not that the hand of God is not upon people's life. The problem there is not that the hand of God is not upon your business. The problem there is not that the hand of God is not upon your career. The problem is that the hand of God is actually mighty there, but the word that you are speaking concerning that area is small. You are not prophesying as commanded. That's why the bones are not coming together, bones to bone. When you begin to prophesy as commanded, you will see that the hand of God, see, the hand of God rests in boldness as well. I'm telling you the truth. The spirit of faith, audacity of faith. This speaking thing, if you master it, the new church, this church will change in 6 months. Pastor Ladi, you will raise millionaires in this church. They will be shocked if we, 6 months. Let me tell you one of the things that are going to happen. Some of you, the moment you start talking, God will say, take the next 2 weeks to speak against the things you have already released, because you cannot have a withered plant and be sowing corn there. It will choke the life out of it. So the problem sometimes is that the things you are saying, there are too many negative words already, so it's conflicting with the new fresh things that you are saying. So it's taking longer time because it has to outweigh the ones that already exist. So sometimes God will tell you, hold on. Before you start talking about this new thing, okay, let's deal with those ones from the past first. So you realize that you just keep talking about the things you've said in the past. In the name of Jesus, you do it for 2 weeks. You will not know why. In fact, when you are confessing things that are about to happen to you, you'll find out that while you are doing it, you are confessing things that have happened before. In the name of Jesus, I reverse these thoughts. In the name of Jesus, this statement, this thing. You'll just be finding yourself reversing things by the Spirit of God. Then once the grass has been cleared completely, it's now time to plant. Are you getting what I'm saying? The plantation there is that, you know, I'm talking prophetically here. The plantation there is that you now start picking things concerning your life and your future. Then you are planting things that are now growing fruits for you. People will talk their way in this church. Somebody will look at them and they will give them house. People will talk their way to jobs. I'm telling you the truth. People that have said, I'm not going to do ministry, I'm not called to ministry, they will come to meet you after service one day, Pastor PL, I'm called to ministry, I'm ready. Because they talked their way into destiny. Because they were cultured of the spiritual realities of the word. If you don't have anything, have mouth. And don't let this, I'm a silent person, I'm a quiet person, don't let it cost your life. You can be silent or quiet in your personality. But in fulfillment of God's plans and purpose for your life, listen to me very carefully. It is actually consecration that you are willing to do what the word of God says it takes for you to become the things God wants you to become. And if that includes you speaking ferociously when you have to, that is a consecration against your natural tendencies. You have to do it.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear what I said there?
Yes, sir.
Because if you allow your natural tendencies to encapsulate your journey, it will crystallize your journey to a point that nothing good will come out of it, because you have given too much advantage to your natural tendencies against God. Knows your natural tendencies, your personality type. He knew it before he created it. But there was no personality type when it comes to speaking the word. That's why there's no type A for mouth, type B for mouth. The same mouth. He gave to all of you. Use it. Glory to God. My time has finished though. I'm just still doing introduction. I refuse for this time to finish. I prophesy as I'm commanded. Words are sword in the spirit that are spiritual enforcers. Words are swords in the spirit that are spiritual enforcers. Praise the Lord. Let's look at James chapter 3. Let's look at James chapter 3, and I think I'll close with that. You know that even when God wants to cut covenant with man, he has to use words. As surely as I live, saith the Lord. Have you seen scriptures like that? In blessing will I bless you. By two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. When God wants to commit to a man's journey, his word he puts at stake. That's what man now understands by when we say, I give you my word. You understand that?
Yes.
When you call your friend and say, are you going to come to my house? I'm not coming. Okay, I'll come. Don't waste my food though. Okay, I give you my word. When the person said, I give you my word, have you seen the person? No. What are you holding on to? The word. Can you see the word? Can you touch the person's word? But what the person has said is that I've committed my personality and my person at stake. So I give you that. Take that. Because of that word I've given to you, which is my integrity, I will be there. That's how powerful the word of God is in your mouth. So you can wake up in the morning and say, I give you my word. You are talking to yourself. I will prosper in this country. Are you getting me? I give you my word. I will not be small. I will not be silent. I will not be silenced. I will not be cut short. I will not be interrupted. I will not be disadvantaged. You are releasing spiritual words. Words are spirit and they are life. I said to you in Ikeja yesterday, if you listen to that sermon, go back and listen to it. I said, words don't just hang. They must find entity, vessels, beings, personality. They don't just hang empty. They must find, they always find a container to contain themselves inside. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
PL, please, how many moments can I have? Just give me some. Thank you. I give you my word. I won't pass more than that time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Somebody getting something here.
Yes, sir.
That's why in the new, there's a way we talk. We are not just lavished with our words anyhow. There's a way, there's a language of the new member. It must become a priority for us going forward. That when we are around people outside that are not members of this tribe, they know us too much because of the words that we speak. Not idle words. The Bible says everyone will give account for every idle word. Look, you are not only going to give account to the talents God gave you, The words you spoke on the earth too, you are going to give account for it. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 36. It says, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Every idle word. He will give account. God doesn't joke with words. Let us make man our own image after our likeness. What do you think he was doing there? What is that likeness? So that man can be a speaking spirit. He created dogs. He created lion. But did he give them power to speak? No. He only gave man the power to speak. So when he said, let us make man our own image after our likeness, he was saying there that let us make man a speaking spirit like us. And through the capacity to speak like us, they would be able to create like us. So when he was saying, be blessed, replenish the earth, subdue the earth, have dominion on the earth, the way you are going to be able to do that is through the speaking capacity he's given to you. You have this mouth and you are not using it. The only thing you're using to do is to eat. You have to use the mouth. By the time you are going to be with the Lord, even the mouth knows. You enter everywhere when the mouth calls you, come, you use me. Mouth. The mouth knows that this guy tried. You created your world with your mouth. You changed your life with your mouth. I see someone. In 5 years from now, in an interview like this, a global one, I'm speaking prophetically, the anchor will look at you and say, how did you create this mastermind, this global business, this thing that changed the earth? How? And your response will look at him with a smile. I used the word to change and orchestrate my life. Yeah. Speak the word. Jesus, don't come to my house. I understand your spiritual authority. Just speak the word. There's no need to come into my house. Just speak the word. You know what Jesus said? See faith, oh. Never seen this kind of faith before. Never seen this kind of faith before. You know what it was implying there? It was implying the fact that so there are people that understand the power of the word. That's why Jesus said that blessed are they that believe yet not seen. So they can understand power of word like this. If you had come like 3 days ago, my brother Lazarus would not have been dead. The crying disciple was talking, oh, let's go and die with him. Look, stop that. I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word was with God and was with God. In other words, word has power to resurrect. And has power to give life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. When he got before the tomb of Lazarus, what did he say? He was the one that created Lazarus in the beginning. Why didn't he do like this? The law of Genesis chapter 1, God said, must be used. For Lazarus to come up from the dead, for resurrection to happen, you must speak the word. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came out after he spoke. If he stayed there and was crying, you know nothing's going to happen. While the Bible says that Jesus wept, you know nothing happened. It was until he spoke, something started to happen. Until he spoke. Just the same way you're only making inquiry until you pay. Abi, only inquiry. If you like, say, I want the dress like this, I want the hair like this, I want the gown like this, I want the suit like this, I want the architectural design like this. It's until you pay. That's when. That's when work starts. Until you speak. That's when your life begins to change. If you are 26 years old, let me tell you something. I'll close this. Close it up here. God has given everyone a spiritual bank of words. How you invest it determines the return of what you get out of life. God has given everyone a spiritual bank of words. How you invest it determines your outcomes of life. God has given everyone a spiritual bank of words. How you invest it determines your outcomes in life. Invest your word right. If you are 26, 27, 31, 40, whatever age bracket you are, you must have enough word commensurate to the years on the earth and the years ahead of you. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? That's why you hear some things. I cannot die like a chicken. You kept quiet. I will say my own, you kept quiet. I cannot die like a chicken. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm favored. The whirlwind of testimony has been blown in my direction. Hallelujah! I'm clothed with favor. I'm heavily defended. Those words are not they are not taglines though. They are spirits and they are life.
Yes, sir.
The world can be calling this hashtag. You, a spiritual person, you know that you are dropping spirit and life around you. Yeah. It's beyond hashtags. It's beyond punchy words. It's spirit and life. It is shaping your tomorrow. Somebody shout, I can never be sick. Somebody shout, sickness, go now.
Sickness, go now.
You know what's going on there? The moment you say that, noise. It's shaking already. Say it one more time. I heard it in the spirit. Sickness, go now.
Sickness, go now.
Oh, my God. Oh, Shira Mandalakaya. Say it one more time. Sickness, go now.
Sickness, go now.
Somebody say, I'm wealthy.
I'm wealthy.
Let me now teach you something very high, powerful. I have to close, no time. When you are in a pit, what do you need to come out? Somebody send you a rope, and then you pull yourself out. Abi? Mm-hmm. When you are in the downtime of your life, that must be the highest time of spiritual words you must be releasing. When you are in a downtime, you must be releasing a lot of spiritual words, because those spiritual words, nobody is going to throw ropes for you. Because this mindset of my helper, my helper, my helper, this thing, we have even stretched it too much, whereby everybody thinks that you cannot, nothing can happen in your life. Look, your helper is created by your words. Your helper is created by your words. So if you're on the downside and you need to come out, you better start speaking the word. As you are speaking the word, the rope to pull you out is being formed by the words you are speaking. The moment your listen, anybody that helped you, you spoke them into help.
Yes, sir.
They are doing God a service on your behalf. Just that you curated words. You know how people curate menu? You just put it together. You say, okay, this is how I'm going to cook the food. I'm going to. Some of you even Google it online. You are watching on the team born. You are cooking rubbish. That's why they did not date you, because you cook rubbish for the first time. I'm just kidding, but I'm not kidding, sharp. So, you know, you created it. You curate what you wear to work. You curate how you dress. You curate how you show up. You curate your Instagram page. Color, white, white, color. Color, white, white, color. You curate that, and you can't create your life. You can't curate your life with the word. I want to spend 2 days to just curate my path. So in the name of Jesus, this man is rising, and he keeps rising, and he keeps rising. And anyone waiting for his fall would wait forever. This man is rising.
There's something that keeps lifting this man. It's the hand of the Lord. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus. It's the favor of our Lord Jesus. What am I doing? I'm curating my life. I'm curating my life. I'm curating my life. By the word.
This lets you know when you travel and you don't know what you are doing, you're on the plane. Why not spend the next 1 hour in that plane? Just talk. You are closer to heaven. Just kidding. Just talk. Release it. Let me close with one scripture. We can go to James chapter 5 because of time. Look at this. Psalms 141 and verse 1 to 4. I'll close with that. Psalms 141 verse 1 to 4. Thank you, Lord. Yahweh Rapha Elohim Shaddai Jireh Adonai manifest.
Turn to five people around and say, no loose words here.
Five people, no loose words here. No loose words here. No loose words here.
And let me tell you something. I want to say this prophetically. Some of you might even need to caution your parents. Don't let anybody drop innocent words without a mind for doing anything wrong to you, but it is innocently evil for you.
Hey, mommy, when you go like this, when you travel, that Lagos in Badon, you know people just die. They are just dying.
Mommy, I'm not picked for death.
Yes, sir.
Go and listen to the message I taught yesterday. What is a spiritual warfare? Lose words here. Some of you might need to mute those continuous forwarded messages that they keep forwarding to you. Before you check your phone, it has loaded. You have no choice but to open it. Now, something is going on in your heart, the moment you watch it. It doesn't need permission, though. Image, visuals don't need permission. The same way music don't need permission. It's entering somewhere in your spirit. When the devil wants to attack, he shadows and look for what is inside. Are you getting what I'm saying? This helps you understand what Job said. He said, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. How did he know? How did the devil know the thing that I feared the most? It means he took a microscope and looked through. Pam! Spotlighted the thing that he feared the most. That's the one that will come upon him. The thing might be in your bank, in your spiritual bank. You allow that thought to enter there. When the time comes, when the devil is looking for a voice of accusation against you, he will look around and find the thing that has entered inside so that he can use it against you. So you cancel some things. Mommy, please don't send me these things again. Politely, please. You get to a particular point in your life, you have to learn how to say no. If not, your own journey will say no to you. I'm telling you, it's a very powerful thing here. Because sometimes, innocently out of a good heart. Look, do you know that? I said it yesterday at Ikeja. This guy was blind. He couldn't see. Then he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. They only told him that Jesus was passing by. The moment he heard that, he said, Messiah passing by, I will get my healing today. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He was screaming. You know what the people said to him? Shut up. Stop talking. Innocently. Do you know that was spiritual warfare going on there? He had two options, to keep silent or keep talking. In other words, his destiny was caught in that moment. Spiritual warfare is not when somebody wears black and wears horn and then say, I'm warfare, I've come against you. Spiritual warfare sometimes are the daily conversations ongoing that are innocent. When you want to talk, somebody says, shut up. And the moment they say, shut up, it shuts something down on your inside. That is spiritual warfare going on there. That's spiritual warfare going on there. That's why you say, I don't know how to talk. Somebody shot that thing inside of you. When you created like that,
Spiritual warfare happened to you. So they were telling the guy, shut up, shut up. In other words, his miracle was just before him. It was stuck between the two, either to shut up or to get it. The more he shouted, do you see his voice saved him? When you cry out, Jesus must stop. Jesus was going, all of a sudden, who called me? Because somebody refused to be quiet. You want to give suggestion in the boardroom. You don't know your promotion is anchored to it. Because every time you want to give suggestion, your boss will look at you. But you don't know your promotion is anchored to it. You don't have the wisdom to know how to do like this sometimes and just find your way. And when you find your way, by wisdom. But you are just saying, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. You're in a boardroom like that. They say, any suggestions? You have the solution in your heart. Timidity has shot something inside of your life. The solution is in that. You know the answer. But, you know, they've taught us not to talk like that. And let me tell you something. Sometimes this culture of silence, the adults are talking, you are talking. This thing in the African culture has affected people spiritually. Their destiny has been capped by the African culture of silence. So you are in a place that you can give solutions to things, but because you have been told that you should not talk while your elders are talking, and you have the solution, you cannot raise your voice to talk. Do you know that if it is some of us in the battle of David and Goliath, when David came before that battle and he saw Goliath, if it is some of us, you know you have killed the bear before, you know you have killed the lion before, but everything that you know, you will not say, because you have been taught not to talk. So the doorway of opportunity for your lifting, which is to kill Goliath and then become the king of Israel, after you have, although you've been anointed already, ordained already, you have that opportunity, but you cannot seize it. Why? Because if I get before my brothers, I should not see anything. But you didn't know that the difference between asking what is going to be the price for the person that killed Goliath, which is your words that you must say, versus you keeping quiet and say, I know I can kill this Goliath, but they say I should come and bring food. So take food and let me go back home. Not knowing that you just excused yourself from your pathway to the throne. Because you were schooled that you should not say things. Because elders don't talk. You can't be talking when elders are talking. Better open your mouth. When you have the answer, say it. Give me that scripture. Let's close quickly. I'll be back here on Wednesday. Give it to me quickly. Look at this one. It says, Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ears to my voice while I cry out to you. This is David praying. Next verse. It says, let my prayer be set before you as an incense. It says, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Look at what it says there. This was his prayer. He now said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. If you read the scripture, then go back to verse 1. You will see what he was doing there. Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. It says, oh Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ears to my voice when I cry out to you. So he was praying that give ears to my voice when I cry out to you. You see the angle he was praying the prayer from. Next verse. Next verse. Verse 2. He said, let my prayer be set before you as an incense. Lifted up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. In other words, it feels David was talking as though this prayer I'm praying is not rising, it's not entering, it's not being answered. There's something going on. Lord, hear my cry now. Something is going on here. Then in a slight moment, I believe it just clicked on him. And verse 3, he now prayed the right prayer. Verse 3 now says, he said, now set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth and keep watch over the doors of my lips. In other words, the things that I have been saying is the reason why this thing has not been happening for me. So because of that, O Lord, help me and deliver me. Set a door over my mouth. This is the thing that is costing my prayer from answering. I've said too many negative things that now I'm saying one positive thing is not with so much effect to bring the positive thing to life. So he said, look, Lord, at this point, set a guard over my mouth. My words is taking me and taking the things that should happen in my life, taking it away from me. Bow your heads and begin to pray to the Lord. And ask God from today, pray that prayer. Or give them the scripture, pray that prayer. Lord, set a guard over my mouth and keep watch over the doors of my lips. When you want to say it from today, let there be an alarm that will go off on your inside. Don't say it. When you need to say it, let an alarm go on your inside. Say it. Pray that prayer. Sheraman tolobon tolobon. So rise on your feet, everybody. Rise on your feet. We're closing in 5 minutes. Sharaman toleda busonto. next 3 minutes, we are going to say some things together. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, let me talk to you. I said to you, I taught you. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Today, I cleared the way.
I have the roadmap.
It's become clear to me.
I know
the how.
The what.
The who.
The when.
It is clearer to me now.
The confusion
is over.
I see
brighter,
faster,
higher.
From today,
I have
the power
of life
and death
in my tongue.
So
right now,
I clear
the door open
for
my manifestation.
I clear
the way open
for
my manifestation.
The
earnest expectation
of
creation
eagerly
waits
for
my manifestation.
So
right here, right now,
manifestation!
Begin now,
begin now,
begin now,
begin now,
begin now,
begin now,
begin now.
I'm blessed.
Woo!
Rejoice!
Rejoice!
We hope you were greatly blessed by today's message, because God still has so much He wants to share with you. So stay connected every week to experience uplifting and life-changing moments in His presence.